And on ABC Radio and on your pod, you're with me, Noel Debien, on The Good Life. And of course, good life comes originally from a Greek word, eudaimonia, which means literally good life. They started it thousands of years ago, back when they were busy with Apollo and Dionysius. But Greeks these days, of course, are Orthodox Christians, like other Orthodox. And for these modern Greeks, the education of desire into healthy directions is one of the key aspects of the Christian spiritual life. And Christmas is coming, of course. They fast, they pray, they give alms, and it's called the Nativity Fast. In monasteries, for monks and nuns, it's even more strictly observed, where they undertake something which is called xerophagy, which is the eating of dry vegetables, believe it or not. Well, it's not quite so tough for your ordinary Orthodox, and this right relationship between body and soul is a focus of preparation that is not all doom and gloom. Their diets change. That means the cuisine changes, the sorts of foods and the way it's prepared changes. It's different, and you feel the season through what you're actually eating. So, perverse though it may seem, in a story about fasting in particular, I decided to go off to a Greek restaurant. And Dr. Philip Kariatlis from St. Andrew's Greek Orthodox Theological College agreed to go with me off to Diethnes in Sydney to find out more about the Greek Nativity Fast through its cuisine. And unsurprisingly, the owners knew exactly what was needed. And I can assure you, the Greeks sure know how to lead the good life, even if they're fasting.
My name is Philip Kariatlis. I work at St. Andrew's Greek Orthodox Theological College. I lecture there in systematic theology.
And Philip, thank you for doing the hard yards and coming to a restaurant with me.
It's all about obedience in the church, so I willingly obey to come to a restaurant and talk about food and fasting.
So we're actually in the Nativity Fast, and the first thing I want to ask you is how long does it last? Because I know among Western Christians there are four Sundays before Christmas, the four Sundays of Advent, but this is longer, isn't it?
The Christmas fast lasts for 40 days. It's a major event, it's a major feast day, and the way Orthodox like to celebrate feasts is to have a long preparation for them. So in the same way that an athlete will prepare for any feat that they'll be doing, so too in the church you prepare. And one of the ways that you prepare is by fasting. You deprive yourself of certain foods in order hopefully to transform that into a hunger for God. So it's reorientating yourself towards God.
I was trying to work out what is asceticism. I was looking up this word because asceticism is something many Christians talk about and the Greeks in their tradition have practiced in various ways. And I discovered that this word asceticism really comes from the idea of practicing or preparing just like in exercise.
Ascesis or ascesis literally means struggle. And it's not any spiritual struggle necessarily, it's just a struggle. So in order to attain something, you need to struggle for it.
Now, we've started out, we've got our mineral water, haven't we? Now, we're allowed, actually,
cheers,
to drink mineral water, but we couldn't actually have wine today because we're recording on a Wednesday, and Wednesdays and Fridays are special, aren't they?
Wednesdays and Fridays are stricter when it comes to fasting. Now, this fast is different from the a great Lenten fast, the fast before Easter.
This one is not quite so tough, I think.
Precisely. So with this one, you're allowed fish with backbone. So up until December the 17th, you are allowed to have fish, except on Wednesdays and Fridays, where you can have boneless fish, so cuttlefish, calamari, and that's what we'll be having today.
If I'm understanding this right, you start on November 15th, so 40 days before December 25th, and the first stage, you begin fasting, but like every Wednesday and every Friday, they're fast days anyway, so you can't have meat on those days, for example, you can't have wine.
Not only can you not have meat or wine, but usually the church prescribes no dairy products as well, so no cheese.
So today we're actually on one of the tougher days, basically.
We're on one of the tougher days, but we're allowed the cuttlefish, so we're allowed calamari and Greek cuisine has become very creative. I mean, you know, the old Greek saying, the pot is boiling and friendships continue to emerge. So fasting is not something gloomy in the church. It's really a way to, as I said, prepare yourself so you can somehow experience the fullness of what is being put before you on Christmas Day. So it's not doom and gloom, putting on a sad face. And that's reflected practically on a dining table. So during fast times, you never get xerophagia, plain, oilless legumes. Greek cuisine has become very creative, and they'll add a lot of herbs and spices. And let me really say that fasting food now has become just as good as normal food. So lobster and prawns, I mean, it's a difficult thing, fasting, isn't it?
I always had in my head the idea that fasting means not having something, which is true. Of course, it's true about this. You're not having something. But it also means your cuisine changes, doesn't it?
That's right. So fasting, the Greek word for fasting is nystia, which etymologically means, not to eat. Fasting is not undertaken the way it was in the early church. So in the early church, the fasting was much shorter, but you literally abstained from food and drink all day. Whereas the fasting as it occurs today has come from monastic circles where they fasted for 40 days from certain foods. So we are allowed to eat, but not all kinds of foods.
So the first thing we're about to eat here, it looks like what I would call taramo salada, is that right?
Precisely right, red caviar dip, or in Greek known as taramo salada. Let me tell you a story about that. During the fasting period when I was a kid, Mum would always put that on a sandwich, and that's what I'd take to school. Yum. And all the kids would look at me and say, yuck, what's that? I'd have to hide. Whereas now it's become the in thing. So if I were a kid today, I'd proudly eat my taramo salada sandwich at school.
And I just see we're getting calamari as well, which is permitted apparently. It's not strictly fish. This is not fish with a backbone.
So yes, so calamari, squid, is permitted. And what we have before us is pieces of lovely fried calamari with special herbs and spices. Very tasty.
I think we'd better try it. Oh gee, that's good though. That's delicious too. Well, this one is sort of like the plainer calamari you'd get in, you know, fish and chip shop. It's dipped in batter.
Greek ladies have become very creative with calamari, precisely because it is allowed during Lent. So they'll cook it in a red sauce with special herbs, spices and wine. Or they'll stuff calamari with rice and other herbs and spices. And that is really, really, really tasty meal.
I thought today you weren't allowed to have oil. And if you can't have oil, hasn't this been fried?
No, we can have oil in the monasteries on a Wednesday and Friday, and perhaps even throughout the whole week, they will fast from oil as well. But that is not practiced out in the world, as it were.
So the 500,000 or so Orthodox in Australia, the ordinary Orthodox who are not monks or priests, they can have oil.
Oh, they're having oil today. And also, let me be honest, that obviously this is what the church prescribes. That's not to say that all faithful Orthodox will adhere to the fast strictly. Very practically speaking, there's Christmas parties, there's this and that, and, you know, it's a bit more lax than the great Lenten fast.
Do Orthodox people get scruples if they break the fast?
Obviously there are people that hold the fast more stricter than others, but let's also remember the fast is a way to prepare to meet Christ. So I suppose I get very uptight when I hear Orthodox become too concerned with the fast and forget why they're fasting, namely fasting as a way of intensifying their hunger for Christ. Because it's not only fasting from foods, it's also, I mean, the fathers of the church will always associate fasting with good acts as well. So they go together. So if you just become too concerned with fasting, you've missed the mark, as it were.
We've just had more things brought to the table now. Gigantes, which look like beans, and this one looks like fried eggplant. Can you just tell me what these are?
So gigantes, it's a broad bean, just cooked in a red tomato-type sauce with parsley and other types of herbs. And of course, fried eggplant and other types of vegetables fried is part of the makeup of a Greek table during fasting times.
The fried eggplant and the fried zucchini, it has a very strong sort of garlic, fluffy garlic cream on it. Now that is traditional too, I think, for Lent.
Yeah, all that is, that's known as skordalia, a Greek garlic mashed potato. By the way, very nice with fish as well.
Which we can't have today.
Which we can't have today.
This one here with the prawns in, what are we about to eat?
Okay, so we've got some fresh tomatoes, some sautéed onions, shallots, a little bit of parsley, boiled rice, and your prawns in the salsa with it, known as prawn saganaki.
And this one here?
That's just your, like your Napolitana pasta. So just again, fresh tomato and onions in your pasta.
How come you knew when we said we wanted to have food for fasting, you knew it all? You knew what we could have?
Yes, I've had great parents that taught me the right way.
Philip, I've eaten so much at lunch, I think I might have broken one of the rules that I read about in Orthodox Lent, that even though when you're observing the fast, it's still possible to eat too much, and this is not necessarily a good thing.
Well, that's right. So fasting, as we said right at the beginning, is, you know, not to eat. So if you're just so oversatisfied with food, I mean, you're hardly going to be thinking about God. You know, you're hardly going to be very creative on a literal level, on a literary level. You know, after a full stomach, you're not going to write a great piece of creative writing or poetry, let alone think and contemplate on God. So,
well, I've done this all for the sake of journalism, of course, and even though I might have eaten a bit too much, it's really introduced to me that Greek food can be really very different to what I expected, because this Lenten food, it's actually quite light. I've always imagined Greek food to be oilier or heavy.
Not necessarily. Not at all. I mean, the beans that we had, very healthy dish. The salad, the prawns, as described by the owner, very healthy dishes. I suppose the realization that I've come to today after our little interview is just how important food and how food has been incorporated in the daily living out of the Christian life for an Orthodox faithful. And we do this as a church down at Sutherland. We'll create little teams and we'll go out and sing the carols. So we'll go and knock on Orthodox homes and we say, Nata Pume, are we allowed to say them? And why we ask that question, there may be a family that is mourning and, you know, we won't sing to them. So they usually say yes and, you know, we'll sing the carols and they'll give us something to either eat or drink. So you're going to 20 homes, you can just imagine, little fasting biscuits and things like that. On Christmas Day, there's the traditional Christmas bread. It's called Christopsomo, Christ's bread. And again, there's a beautiful tradition whereby after church, after the faithful have taken communion, they will prepare for the main, you know, lunchtime. But before sort of lunch is served, the father of the home will take the Christmas bread, which is much like an Easter bread. It's a sweet type bread. They will actually, using a knife, cross it three times and say in the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And that's the first thing that is given. Again, bread of Christ is referred to as the bread of life, the bread from heaven. And that somehow is symbolic of that. So it's interesting to see how the Orthodox faithful have incorporated food into the way they live out their Christianity.
It strikes me that if you're fasting, which means you're regulating the type or amount of food that you're having, you do it three times a day, you do it in groups very often, families eat together, it's actually going to focus your attention in a very particular way because it's affecting something you do at least three times a day and it's going to change consciousness, I guess.
That's a very important point you raise because also fasting is a corporate thing, so you're fasting exactly the same way as another faithful person is fasting, just to show that we belong to this one body. We're doing it together. We never do it alone. We never fast in a way that, you know, stricter than what the church prescribes, because that's to lose the whole meaning of why you're fasting.
Redeemed